from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parashat Emor, the holiday of giving. If we look in this section, Parak Chaf Gimel, chapter 23, Parashat Emor, where it speaks all about the holidays. Rishon Elul, we cried Kodesh, Shabbat is the first of all holidays. We go from Shabbat, Pesach is in the first Jewish month, Nisan, so you have Pesach, the Omer, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Good. So we have all the holidays. All of a sudden, in the middle of the discussion about the Omer, it says the Omer, and then it talks about the 50th day, which is Shavuos, and then it says, and when you reap the reap in your land, you should not destroy the corner of your field when you're reaping, and you should not pick up little stray pieces, you know, you left a fig over here, a prune over there, and la nivla gerz is over time, you should leave them for the poor. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Lord your God. Now, it's strange from a variety of points of views, as Rabbi Tamir Granot in Israel pointed out. Number one, we have this pasuk almost verbatim, beginning of Parashat Kedoshim, chapter 19. So you don't need it again. Secondly, we're not talking about this right now. We're talking about having a holiday. It's true, the holiday has reaping. It is a holiday of reaping, but this is not the discussion here. We're not talking about what you do when you're reaping. We're talking about the holidays that relate to reaping. What you do when you're reaping, there it discusses elsewhere. Thirdly, the expression "Ani Hashem Elokeichem," I'm Lord your God, is an expression that we don't find in Parshat Emor. We find it over and over again, probably about 15 times in Parshat Kedoshim. Someone pointed out there 10 times corresponding to the Ten Commandments, and then another 5 times. So what is this doing here, and what's the point? Now, the Gemara in Moed Katan says, I'll tell you what's going on over here. I'm sorry, it's in Chagiga, it's talking about Chol Moed, but the Gemara in Chagiga, Yud Zayin, it says, when you're cutting your wheat, so wait, we're talking about holidays. You don't cut wheat on holidays. Yeah, but it's Chag HaGetz here. It's the holiday of reaping. Ah, what do we see? There must be a part of the holiday of reaping, the Chag HaGetz here, Shavuos, there must be a part of that holiday when you're allowed to reap. And what's that? The 7-day makeup. You see, supposed to bring a holiday offering every Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. But everybody can't bring it on the first day. Sometimes it's Shabbos. Sometimes it's just too many people. So you have 6 days to make it up. Those 7 days together collectively are called Chag HaShavuos. And we see from here that there is a makeup time, and that's also called the Chag HaGetz here. So it's not completely talking about something irrelevant. It's talking about the days within the Shavuos 7-day period, where indeed you might be reaping because it's the season of reaping. We remind you to give to the poor. Good. Also, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, how do we know that we have to crown God king on Rosh Hashanah? Well, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. In the next sentence, it says, on the seventh month is Yom Truah, is a Zichron Truah, is a day of blast, the day of Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah has to be Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You have to declare God king on that day. That's why kingship is so important. So the Gemara addresses the anomalies of the placement here, but still, we're a little bit lost. Comes the Sifra, and says, they ask the same question. What's it doing here? We're in the middle of talking about the pilgrimage festivals. Why are we talking about reaping and the laws of reaping? So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, and Rashi quotes it. Why? He says, because anybody who leaves the forgotten sheaves and the forgotten pieces and the second tithe to the poor, then it's as if the Beis HaMikdash existed and you brought sacrifices. And if you don't, then it's as if there was a Beis HaMikdash and you failed to bring karbanos. I sort of thought I knew where the Rashi was going, where the Medrash was going, but then it goes off into left field. You would think it would say, because if you reap properly, then it's as if, maybe as if you, observe the holiday properly, something like that. After all, the Rambam says that anybody who doesn't give charity to the poor, then it's as if they're just enjoying their stomach. It's a joy of their stomach. It's not a joy of Yontif. So maybe it's telling me that if you enjoy on Yontif, then it's as if it's really a great Yontif. That would be a nice interpretation. But what is this interpretation? It's as if he brought sacrifices. Comes the Malbim, and he has a commentary on the Sifra, on this classic Medrash, on Vayikra, and he says, I'll explain it to you. When you have sacrifices, what do? You bring part of it to the Kohen. What is a Kohen? He's poor. Why? He has no land. So what should you do when you're reaping, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash? You give it to the poor. It's as if you brought sacrifices and you gave some to the Kohen. Interesting interpretation. But Malbim, the Torah Tamima, quotes it as well. Comes the Chassam Sofer in the 1800s and he says, look, what do you do during Shavuos? Well, yeah, the first day you eat and you drink. Good. What do you do in the other days? You go back to the field. It's the reaping time, so you reap. Ah, so then what kind of Shavuos? Pesach had 7 days. It was Chol HaMoed. It's very nice. Sukkot, 7 days. Chol HaMoed. It's wonderful. But what's Shavuos? Well, you have the holiday, and then for 6 days, you're just reaping and going to work. He says, no. If you give gifts to the poor, that while you're reaping, you're out at work, but you're bringing the gifts to the poor, you're leaving things to the poor, then it's as if it really is holy. 7 days are just as holy as any holiday, because when you're living your mundane life with the giving, then it's truly holy. This relates to the idea that Chol HaMoed in general is a training ground for living a holy life, elevating the chol to be the moed. Good, that's the Chassam Sofer. Then the Mayim Beis HaShoeva, the Rav Schwab from the 20th century, he said the following. He said, look, we have the holidays of Pesach, Omer, and then Shavuos. And then we have this verse about reaping. So what's this talking about? And then we have Rosh Hashanah. What's the holiday between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah? Well, there is no biblical holiday, right? No, there's Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av one day will be L'Sasson L'Simcha, will be to a great rejoicing, as it says in Zechariah. When it's a great rejoicing, it's going to be a rejoicing of the rebuilding of the temple. How will the temple be rebuilt? So they say that if you bring gifts to the poor, if you do what Boaz did and you leave the gleanings for the poor, then the temple will indeed be rebuilt. So, if you reap and you leave for the poor, then it's as if you brought sacrifices and you built the Beis HaMikdash. So, therefore, it's the reaping that leads the building, and this is an allusion to Tisha B'Av. And what happens on Tisha B'Av? It's a dedication of the temple, the rebuilding of the third temple. When you have a dedication of a temple, how many days does it last? 7. If the first day is the 9th, what's the 7th day? Tu B'Av. That's why the Gemara says, Lo Ayulam Tovli Yisrael Tu B'Av, that there was no great days like Tu B'Av. So the question is, well, wait a second. Tu B'Av, what did they do on Tu B'Av? They had a parade, and women would say, hey, look at me. I'm beautiful. Look, lift your eyes and see me. The matchmaking. Matchmaking is very nice. You get a girl that you go on a date. Okay, fine. But to say, look at me, when you don't know if he's going to marry you or not, it seems rather flirtatious. So comes Rabbi Schwab and says, no. On Yom Kippur, we're not worried about flirtation because everyone has no Yetzer Hara on Yom Kippur. On Tu B'Av, we're also not worried about flirtation. Why? Because that's the day when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and then God will shecht the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, and then we can live free from the Yetzer Hara. So this passage is so fascinating. We have a discussion of a mundane activity of reaping in the middle of the holiday, as if to say, number one, the essence of a holiday is giving to the poor, as we say in Devarim, Ager v'yatom v'ona, you have to give to the widow and the poor. Number two, it's telling us that holidays are beautiful, but living your regular life, your business life, and acting ethically and giving charity, remembering the poor, that's as holy as the holiday itself. And finally, the Torah here is telling us that you know what comes after Shavuos. rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. And you know how that's going to happen? Through Leket, Shicha, and Peah. When people say, look, I already reaped my olives. There are a couple left. I don't have to shake the tree till it's dead and there's nothing left. I can leave those olives. I can leave them for the orphan, the widow, and the poor. There's no problem. And when a person takes this attitude, that's when the Beis HaMikdash will truly be rebuilt. That would be something to really look forward to. That's this very special pasuk. Not just talking about some mundane reaping. It's indeed a holy reaping, which will lead eventually to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lameth for the discussion of the Parsha. Join us each week for the discussion of the Parsha and the holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.